Fellow Freedom fans, we're back with the Faith and Freedom Show here. I'm David Allen Carmichael on Eagle 104.3 FM. That's who I am. And we're going to come back. We're talking. We're back. And we're going to talk about some things. One of the things about the healthcare thing, again, it's going to be something that's always in the news. And if you want to talk about that or something else, give us a call at 888-850-1872. It's going to be in the news for quite a while because that is almost like we're at war. Remember World War II? I've seen it on TV. I've seen it, you know, during the passion-killing late-night videos and things like that, watching news reels from World War II. And you know, I've read about it. I heard from my grandmother telling me about it. I've heard all this interesting thing. It was a time where our country was focused on this invasion, this thing that was happening in the Pacific and in Europe and in the continent of Africa. Basically, it was this global crisis. So we have this global crisis. Somebody's telling us that we have this global healthcare crisis and that we need government to intervene with healthcare. You know, up to this point, it just seems to me, as the objective observer, America's gotten where it has as far as the medical advances, not because of socialized medicine. It's, in fact, in spite of tendencies to go towards socialized medicine, it's been because people are motivated, naturally motivated and excited about what they're doing and advancing things, a love your neighbor as yourself motive, rather than this strange use as an excuse to acquire power and an excuse to acquire funding streams. In other words, with the power of the sword, get money to hire our administration people, to give our administration people some work and some pay while doctors are trying to take care of patients. That's just my observation. Now, it's not as completely anecdotal, has no substantive, statistical, scientifically measured information. That's just the impression I get. I don't know what your impression is. Our number here is 888-850-1872. I'm going to play a clip from a man who's, his name's Michael Ferris. He's the founder of the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. He's a constitutional litigator. He actually got involved on an extremely small part on a federal case I had. He probably doesn't even know. I think he did find out what actually happened in that case ultimately, but he wasn't that interested in it. He knew I was a homeschooler, and he had a little document he had to sign to that end. But this guy's name is Michael Ferris, and he's a forward-looking guy, and he's also a backward-looking guy. He looks back to the fundamental principles of the Constitution. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip from him and an interview that I think it was CBN that did with him, and he's going to give us a perspective on the federal government and they're getting involved in healthcare.
Rightly interpreted, the federal government would not be in the business of healthcare at all, because it boils down to an understanding of the General Welfare Clause. There was a decision in the 1930s that really set the standard for this, called Butler versus the United States, and the court, in about a paragraph, settled the issue. And they noted that James Madison thought that the government could not spend money on things outside of its enumerated powers, whereas Alexander Hamilton thought that they could spend money on basically anything they wanted. And that's the constitutional question. And if you would read the ratification debates in Virginia or any other state, or read the Constitutional Convention, or read anything besides the opinions of Alexander Hamilton, you would see that the absolute consensus was that the government could only spend money on things that were consistent with its enumerated power. And
so that's it. Now, he's a guy who studied this stuff, and he didn't just go to Alexander Hamilton. There are a few comments by John Adams that was kind of, if a man knows a good he ought to do and doesn't do it to him, it is sin. He thought that it'd be appropriate if they could use the federal government's power to do a good thing, then it was justifiable. So there were some people in the more centralist government perspective, specifically Alexander Hamilton, that thought, hey, we'll just do whatever, we give them a power and they can do whatever they want. You know, it's just up to the people of Congress to limit themselves and their behavior. But as Mr. Ferris said, doing a review of all those who got together on the Constitution and put it together, they understood when they were doing that document that it was expressly limited. There was very limited things that the central government could do. They very much understood that the more that the central government got into your business, the more catastrophe would be brought to you and the less you'd be able to do about it. So when some of us extremists talk about these healthcare issues and why there's something wrong with it, well, what happens is, what I see is that they're using the power of the sword to prop up an insurance industry, not necessarily to give you health care. Not necessarily, because what happens is all of a sudden they're going to be reviewing whether or not you should get the medical attention that you ask for. There will be something that says, oh, you got a kidney disease, you're 75, I'm sorry, we're done with you. You have a low, because you're just, if we look at the statistics in America, you'll be lucky to get in another 6 years. Well, it could be that you've got a plan to live to 105, and you have not yet begun to affect this world with wonderful blessings. You know, there's people that have that happen to them. My great aunt, Adele Carmichael, died at 103, and she died on her way to her Sunday school class that she was still teaching. Okay? She's influencing lives at the age of 103, and she didn't check out till she checked out. So if the government gets involved in this, where somebody's going to police what care you're going to get, we're in trouble, folks. We're already in trouble. Again, this pandemic of dementia that's been sweeping North America has very clearly gone global. Global, yes. So, hey, watch out, folks. Watch out for late-night TV because it's a passion killer. So keep that in mind. Some of these other things besides this healthcare thing, you say, oh, you bunch of extremist political guys. No, we're really motivated. We're really motivated by care for you. I mean, that's really it. Now, I'm going to go to an article that came out with regard to President Al Gore, and I want you to see that these ideas, these healthcare things, are not coming from America. They're coming from people they maybe got together, I don't know, at a college class someplace, and then they got involved with some of these meetings that happen sponsored by the United Nations, so to speak. And then so what happens is there are forces outside America driving what's happening to you in spite of what you're complaining about. All those of you who are over 50 years old especially, and even more so 60 and then 70, who are said, I'm afraid of what I'm seeing today. Look what's happening in America. Even your, not Mr. Obama, but Senator McCain. I mean, the guy was a socialist. He was. Bless his heart. You know, I think he's got great intentions, but he's kind of guy who is a compromiser. He takes pride. He loves his neighbor as himself to compromise. So that would have been a dangerous thing, I think, as a president of the United States, because what would happen is these things that are coming in a whirlwind right now would probably merely come in at just slightly a slower pace, possibly. So we're seeing these things change in America. And the former generation is going, what happened? Well, I think if I go back and review it, I think the former generation was slightly asleep at the helm. And so now we're having to pick up the pieces and fight back a little bit with a more difficult battle. The enemy has encroached significantly. And I think that's what happened. If you look back in the Crusades, you had these people that were taking over Christian communities and saying, you know, forsake your faith at the edge of our curved sword. And then finally somebody got the idea that, hey, you know, somebody needs to protect these God-fearing, loving, weaponless people. And so the Crusades get kind of a bad rap, but that's essentially what was going on, as they were trying to fight back something that had encroached many, many, many hundreds of miles, even thousands of miles farther than it should have because it was unchecked. So I think in our last generation, we kind of were asleep at the helm. So now let's see what's coming in to swallow us up. Former Vice President Al Gore declared that the Congressional Climate Bill will help bring about global governance. This is what Mr. Gore is excited about. This Congressional Climate Bill will bring about global governance. So that's why I posed the question earlier, and our number here is 888-850-1872. Global governance. Is that seditious? is that supporting and defending the Constitution of the United States? Is that supporting and defending the little guy in the neighborhoods of Florida or Montana or New Jersey or Oregon or New Mexico? Is it? You want global governance. Want to take it out of your hands and put it into somebody somewhere. I don't know where these guys are, but it would be putting it in somebody else's hands. Ex-Vice President Gore touted the Congressional Climate Bill, claiming it will dramatically increase the prospects for success in combating what he sees as a crisis of man-made global warming, in spite of what the scientific measurements are. But it is the awareness itself, this is what Mr. Gore said, but it is the awareness itself that will drive the change, and one of the ways it will drive the change is through global governance and global agreements. We're there, folks. Hey, let's all take a moment, not a moment of silence. Let's curve our fingers and say the word OM in the key of A now together, all together now. Okay, we're not going to do that. This is just strange stuff, folks. It's happening, and it's happening like a whirlwind in spite of what the majority of Americans would say. It, in spite of rationality. This somebody here has caught this pandemic of dementia. Gore's call for global governance echoes former French President Jacques Chirac's call in 2000. Now, see, this is where we're going to go. We're going to go back and find out from whence this has come. I see, I'm trying to avoid ending my sentences in prepositions. I don't know if you've noticed. Gore's call for global governance echoes former French President Jacques Chirac's call in 2000. Ooh, 9 years ago. On November 20, 2000, then French President Chirac said during a speech at The Hague that the UN's Kyoto Protocol represented the first component of an authentic global governance. Hey, Pope Benedict XVI just called for that last week. Maybe see what's going on here? Global governance. From the very earliest age, this is Mr. Chirac said, we should make environmental awareness a major theme of education and a major theme of political debate until respect for the environment comes to be as fundamental. He's a fundamentalist as safeguarding our rights and freedoms. By acting together, by building this unprecedented instrument, the first component of an authentic global governance, we are working for dialogue and peace, Chirac added. Hey, I think they're all vying for the being the king of the global, huh? Global king here. Okay, it's carbon tax and all that kind of stuff. I was reading something in the Bible. I think it was about 1 o'clock this morning. Yes, I was. Revelation chapter 9, verse 4, it says, don't hurt the grass. I was thinking about teeth. I looked up the word teeth. Remember I said the other day when the Pope called for a UN with teeth for a true political, global political police power? He said something with teeth. I typed in the word teeth on BibleGateway.com. You know what it showed me? Revelation chapter 9. It talks about this beast with teeth of the lion. Very interesting reading, Revelation chapter 9. But I found that on verse 4, it said, don't hurt the grass or the trees or the plants. So it may be that all this worshiping the grass might just be a little divine intervention. But if you read the rest of the chapter, you're not going to like what comes next. And the grass might be well protected, but everybody else is very much at risk. Hey, we're going to come back on this show, and we're on the EO 104.3 FM. I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about, I'm going to quote some things said by ex-Vice President Al Gore, and we're going to look at where this global carbon tax came from. Is this an American idea? Is this all American? Is all American what's happening to you today in America? And I'm going to give you a perspective of religion with relation to that when we get back here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Number here is 888-850-1872 on the Eagle 104.3. We shall return.